Hi there, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson here at the Intentional Living Center. Every day when we're here, I picture in my mind opening the door, a big door, and saying, come on in, because we're in this thing together. And we're going to discover again today God's loving intentions for your marriage. And it may not feel like it, the way you feel from day to day, like He cares that much. Marriage can be difficult. It can be a test. But He loves you, and we're going to give you some things today that'll be very practical. And we're also going to be hearing your stories as we ask the question, in your marriage, when do you feel most loved? You feel closest to your spouse? We got a caller standing by we'll get to in a moment. In my book, Starve for Affection, which, by the way, is a book that talks about the feeling side of love. Love is as Christians, we know love is an action, you know, patience and kindness and long suffering. But if you don't feel it, in other words, if your spouse is acting lovingly towards you, doing things, but maybe not the things that help you really feel loved by them, we miss each other. My friend Gary Chapman wrote that book on the love languages, trying to help us understand that each of us kind of feel loved in different ways. But in my book, on page 15, I found a poem called Walls, and it's a poem that really lays out how a wall can go up between two people who loved each other on the day they got married. The day you got married, you were close, you were intimate, you were excited about this new relationship. But the very last line of this poem, I won't read the whole poem, just the last line says, when we end up retreating from each other, which can happen, you really feel starved for love and it's not there, for affection it's not there. For when love dies, it is not in a moment of angry battle, nor when fiery bodies lose their heat. Rather, it lies panting, exhausted, expiring at the bottom of a wall that it could not scale. And it's as though a wall just went up. We hear a lot about walls, don't we? Right? In our culture today, you know, politically. And the idea, you put up a wall to keep people in or keep people out. And a lot of discussion on that politically, but you know what? We shouldn't have a wall in our marriage. Because in our marriages, when we put up walls, it keeps people apart. In our marriage relationship, we need to be those who bring the walls down. And the question is, how do you do that? And I'm convinced that it's in these little moments when you feel most loved. There's like a little hole that gets knocked through that wall. That's why I tell people, when your marriage is, you're feeling more and more apart, you start moving toward each other and little things that you do to demonstrate love one for another. John tells us in 1 John 4:7 that we are to let love be a centerpiece of our life. He says, let us love one another. And if one another are to be loved, certainly our spouse is to be loved. Let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Here's the bottom line. We can't, this is hard to say, because I know it could be misunderstood, but we can't call ourselves a Christian and not love our spouse. Now, there's going to be days you don't like them, and it's going to be difficult, and there's times you go through difficult process in your marriage. I understand that. And I know marriages fail, but at the end of the day, the fact is God's intention is clear, and when our intentions align to His for our marriages, things go better. And His intention is that we love our spouse, and there are benefits when you do. The fact is, it's a validation of God working in your life when you truly love your spouse. It's validation. Are you able to love your spouse more, even if he or she's an unlovable type of person? Are you able to love them more today than you were 6 months ago? In fact, I believe that you're never closer to God than when you are loving your spouse or another people, according to Scripture, that's what the Bible teaches. So the question is, when do you feel most loved by your spouse? Let's find out from you all. Tammy was up first from New Mexico. Hi, Tammy.
Hi there.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Doing well. How about you in your marriage? When do you feel most loved by your spouse?
Well, I have been blessed with a wonderful husband. Our anniversary, our 10-year anniversary, is coming up tomorrow.
Oh, congratulations.
And I literally love him more now than I did when we got married. But there have been a few challenges along the way, as there always are in marriages. And when I feel most loved is when we study the Word together, and I know that he's getting up early to study it privately. And then when these challenges do come up, I can see that we're both applying the Word to that situation to be loving and respectful of one another. And it's exciting.
You know, there are people listening, Tammy, who are thinking, boy, I wish my husband or my spouse would cooperate and we could do that. How do you do that? Do you have a set time, or does he take the lead, or you do, or what? How do you do that in a practical way?
We are self-employed, so we are fortunate enough to kind of have a little bit more of a flexible schedule, but we are also early birds, and so we get up early, and we make our coffee, and we sit down together, and we used to talk about the day ahead and the business at hand, and instead we're using that time to study the Word together and to pray together, and it just seems as though whenever there are challenges with a blended family or challenges with our self-employed businesses, that we are just able to come together in unity because we spent that time earlier in the morning and, you know, made that commitment. So it's just got to be a commitment.
That's good. You know, any winning team will always have the pre-team meetings, and they'll have the halftime meetings where they're talking about how things are going and where they're headed. And for Christians, for couples to be able to talk about the priorities and pray together, and it's a powerful thing. That's good. 10 years, yes. Happy anniversary to you, Tammy.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Glad you're listening. Rosie standing by, 36 years of marriage, and I'm going to get to her story in just a moment.
The world's changing, and it can feel chaotic. But what if the key to growing through it starts with how we see it?
The very first step, I think, in understanding that we can grow through change is to accept it. It's not a plot against you or against me, but it's just a reality that throughout our life, we're in a constant state of change.
In Dr. Randy's teaching titled Intentionals for Growing Through Change, he highlights 10 ways you can grow through the changes in your life. When you give a monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Kevin Lehman with advice on how you can be an intentional parent. Oh, Dr. Lehman, I am so upset about my little daughter, Lucinda. She just doesn't seem to have any friends, you know. She just doesn't ever want to invite kids over to her home, or I don't know. Could you just help me? Well, what about the other children in the family? Oh, there are no other children. She's an only child. Case dismissed. Only children don't get along with kids their own age, by and large. They're little adults by age 7. They love nothing better than to sneak into adult company and just get to listen. And in that growing up so quickly, that is being a little adult, at age 7, they want to know what's going on. They want to know exactly what's going on. In fact, when you're leaving and you're telling them you're going to go someplace, it wouldn't be unusual for that only child to say, Mom, what time are we leaving? Oh, we'll leave around 9. That's not good enough for the only child. What's good enough for the only child is this. Honey, we'll leave the parking lot at 9:07. Thanks, Mom. That's all they want to know.
Dr. Kevin Lehman, internationally known psychologist, author, and a good friend. We're talking today from the book Starve for Affection. And when is it you feel most loved? Because affection is the feeling side of love. And this is what I found over the years working with people. All of a sudden, there's a marriage problem, and the guy's telling me, my wife just left. And I said, well, did you see it coming? And he's saying, well, not really, but I know she wasn't all that happy, you know, but I didn't see this coming. Well, what's the problem? Well, she was saying we didn't talk and we didn't do this, and she had it, and this was it, see? And the key to this is making those small deposits. The best marriages are not those that just have one big party once a year. It's the little deposit. You know, it's no different than a saving in a bank account. It's a little bit over an extended period of time. It's putting a little bit of love in every day, just like putting a little bit of money away, right? It's like walking a little bit, exercising a little bit, reading a little bit, praying. It's a little bit over an extended period of time, and pretty soon you got a lot. And this is true in marriage. Marriage comes down to a little bit over an extended period of time. So the question is, when are those little moments that you feel most loved by your spouse? Because at the end of this program, our goal is to have you share with us one thing that you're committed to for the next 30 days to start making those deposits into your spouse's life. That's what we're talking about. So Rosie's here to help us do that. Rosie, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Randy. How are you?
Good. Good. It says here you've been married 36 years.
36 years, yes. When I met my husband, he was in pharmacy school, so I had to wait 4 years till he was done, and then we got married, and we've been together for 40 years, married 36, raised 4 children, and it's been ups and downs, but it's been a great ride.
That's great. He's a pharmacist, so everything's got to be done right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, if there's 30 pills or 30 pills, you're not 31.
No.
It's got to be done. It's got to be the right stuff, yeah. All right, so when do you feel most loved by him?
I have to say I feel most loved when we spend quality time together. Raising 4 kids, there wasn't a lot of quality time because it was always the children. But now that they're all on their own, we just have our youngest home. She's in high school, and so we get to spend more quality time together, and we talk, we go over, you know, things about the kids and about us and, you know, our dreams for the future, our fears. And I love having that quality time together, because if I'm fearful or if I'm just, you know, have issues coming up, he just gives me words of affirmation, and those are my two love languages, quality time and words of affirmation, and that's when he gives it to me, and I feel the closest to him then.
That's great. Well, 36 years, you're you know, halfway there, right? You still got another 36 years ahead of you for marriage, right? That's the goal.
Yes.
Hey,
yes.
Rosie, thank you for your call. I'm glad you're listening today. Do you tune in often?
Yes, I try to tune in every day.
Fantastic. Well, you keep listening. Appreciate your call.
Thank you, Dr. Randy. Have a great day.
All right. That's Rosie listening to us in Arizona. We're talking about when do you feel most loved? And here's the challenge. Here's your daily challenge here, because we believe here at the Intentional Living Center in what we call the power of one thing, doing one thing intentionally until it becomes a transformational habit. You kind of understand that, don't you? If you want to have a better habit, you got to get rid of the bad habit, and then you got to start building a new habit, and you have to do it long enough until it just becomes a habit. At first, it'll seem maybe a little awkward, a little different, and you got to really force yourself to do it, be motivated to do it, but after a while, it becomes a habit. Habits, that's the way they develop in our lives. So what's one thing that you would be committed to doing in your marriage for the next 30 days that would become a transformational habit? What is it? We'd love to hear it. You can come to our website, theintentionallife.com, click on today's program, and tell us what's that one thing for the next 30 days. I got some ideas I'll be sharing with you in just a moment if you can't think of anything, right? Talking marriage today, we love your feedback. We're in this together. The Intentional Living Center is committed to helping you live an intentional life in Christ, knowing the purpose, living the purpose, so you can finish strong. That's what we're here for. Love to hear your thoughts. 888-888-1717.
Today, forgiveness.
What's that you're listening to?
Oh, it's a podcast from Dr. Randy. I missed the show yesterday. Just pulled it up while I had a few minutes.
You? A webcast? I remember when I had to show you how to check email.
Well, I figured if I have to be on the computer, I might as well get something good out of it, right?
Hear a show you missed. Find out about events and conferences and share your story at the Intentional Living website.
Forgiveness is can you show me how you found that?
Just go to theintentionallife.com.
Today, what I'd like to talk about are 10 things to help us grow through change in our life. Number one is we have to accept it. It's a reality. And so if you want to write down accept it, because you know not everybody does, we live in a time when it seems like people want to defy change. We don't like to accept the fact that we're changing. The very moment that a sperm and an egg came together and the process of life began, and the separation of one cell into two and two into four and four into eight and eight into 16, the change process began at that moment and will continue in your life and my life until the moment that we take our last breath. And in our culture, however, we have this ability to deny that change is occurring.
You know, you and I get one of three choices when it comes to a change in our life. And I'm talking about some of the big things. Maybe you've been through a divorce. Maybe there's been a diagnosis of cancer or some other health-related issue. Or maybe you're moving to a different place. Something has occurred that's impacting how you see yourself and how you see the world. And you've gone through a change. And it's been a significant change. It could even be a good change. But change is inevitable in life. And there's really one of three things that can happen to us at that moment. We can either go backward, trying to restore something from the past, going back in a negative direction. As we know, that never works. Or we can just think we're staying stuck, dig a hole and jump in, and allow inertia to overtake, and hoping that the storm of life will sort of blow over us and keep going. And the reality is, it often does not. Or, as we teach this month in our featured lesson, we grow through change. That's a process and that's a decision that we make, to grow through change in our life. And so that's the lesson. I hope you'll find it, use it, share it with others. It's made possible because of the support of our members all around the country. Thank you for your financial support for Intentional Living. While you're at the site, check out the Night of Hope coming to Glendale, Arizona. I get a chance to share with you some powerful points on how to live your life intentionally in your marriage and your family. It's going to be a great evening. Everything is available to you, getting the tickets, finding out about how to support the ministry and so on, when you go to theintentionallife.com. And boy, we appreciate you standing with us.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
When do you feel most loved? Let's find out from Lee, who's on the line in Arizona. Hi, Lee. How are you today?
I'm doing good.
Good. Appreciate your patience. Tell us, how long have you been married?
20 years.
Good for you. All right. When do you feel most loved by your husband?
Well, we both work different hours, so when sometimes he'll get home late and I'll still be up, and we'll just say hi to each other and give each other a big hug, and then most of our time is like Saturdays and Sundays, so we spend time together, breakfast, working in the yard, and stuff like that, and he's the dishwasher in the house, so once in a while he'll be standing there doing dishes. And I'll show him some love just by coming up behind him and giving him a big hug from behind and just telling him that I love him.
Mm. Again, it's the little things, you know. And you, if you have physical touch, especially if that's your love language, maybe it's gifts, acts of service, as Gary Chapman writes. But knowing what that is and then doing it is an important thing. Well, Lee, I'm glad you're listening. How long have you been listening to the radio station here?
Oh, my gosh, quite a while. I think I've been listening to KFLR because I like hearing the messages and stuff like that. So I would say about 25, 30 years.
Fantastic. Well, I'm glad you're listening. Thank you for your call, Lee.
You're welcome. God bless you.
All right. You know, one of the commitments we have here at Family Life Radio is not only to bring you great music, but also, and I know this is true of our stations across the country, but also the kind of teaching and impact that can make a difference in your life. So, Lee, thank you for your call. Appreciate it. You know, you've all been sharing with us the fact that maybe you're not feeling starved for affection, but like Barbara in Michigan telling us that she's really got some good things going on. So let me ask you, Barbara, when do you feel the closest in your marriage?
You know, it's a very simple thing. It's about he wants to draw near to me just to be near me, just to sit near me or hold me or just to be near. And there's no expectation. There's no motivation of something that he wants. It's just a drawing near. He delights in just being near, and I delight in that. And so it's just a beautiful gift that we can give each other.
Well, that's good. So you like being close, but no expectations. There's not some ulterior motive.
Right. I think in a younger days of marriage, I have got a 35-year marriage on my history, which that's a gift in itself. But I think a lot of people come with a lot of expectations about who their spouse should be like and what they're drawing from. A lot is just their experiences. But all of us need to look to God's Word to redevelop what a godly marriage looks like. It's not what we've seen and heard. It's not anything like that. It is what God creates as you look to Him and look to each other to really focus on each other's desires and needs and try to just do that right for them. Nobody's going to love them like we can love them as their spouse.
Absolutely true. Well, you keep loving each other, and I appreciate your call today, Barbara.
And my heart does go out to those who are in that place of lack, and I am praying for each caller that I hear.
All right. Well, thank you again, Barbara. Appreciate your call today. Okay, let's go to a call here. Let me see. Karen's been waiting in Kansas. Hi, Karen.
I want to tell you, after 35 years of marriage, you know what goes on? You have a deeper love. It goes through a lot of phases and plateaus, but here's the one thing you have to remember. Don't talk to your husband about your husband. Talk to the Lord about your husband. There's lots of love and lots of forgiveness, and what you do is you work at it all the time, but you don't ever have these feelings that there's something that you can never forgive. After 35 years of marriage, I'm just as much in love with my husband as the day I married him. And really, being angry is a choice. You can't say someone said or did something that made you mad. You choose to feel mad.
We've been talking about strong marriages, and it's one of the essentials in life that we focus on at the Intentional Living Center, and it's a good thing to have a strong marriage. But to have a personal relationship with Christ is a life-transforming thing, and we're committed to that. At the end of the day, when we talk about living intentionally, the question I have for you is, do you know Christ? When we went through the loss of Billy Graham, I went back and watched some of his teaching again and listened to him, and I was reminded that he had one. You talk about intentional. You talk about a person who was intentional. He had one thing, and that was to share the gospel. He never talked to anyone without asking them, do you know Christ personally? And at the end of the day here, foundational for this ministry, we want to ask the question, do you know Christ personally? And if you don't, we would invite you today to make sure you make that intentional decision for your life. If you'd like to know who Jesus is, we have some information available at our website. Go to theintentionallife.com. Click on the Inspiration tab, and the question, who is Jesus, is there. Click on it, and it'll get you started. And if you're not plugged into a church, to be plugged into a church where you'll hear the gospel, where you'll be growing in your relationship with Christ. In our message today on marriage, the question I'm asking is, what is one thing that you're committed to for the next 30 days that could make the biggest difference in helping your spouse feel loved? Here's some ideas. How about speaking into their life every day? You know, finding one thing every day that you can say to them, about them, in front of them, to others, that really build them up. How about helping out around the home, doing things that you know are important to your spouse that need to get done without having to be asked? Maybe it's helping with the kids. They're your kids too, right? Helping with the kids, or maybe just going out of your way to do something that you know hasn't been done in a while. And I always want people to know that criticism should be eliminated. In fact, the research is very clear that marriages that don't survive often are due to criticism in the relationship. And so how about for the next 30 days, no criticism, removing that from the scene?
A night of music, laughter, and hope. It's Family Life Radio's Night of Hope, Friday, June 6th with Dr. Randy Carlson.
You can experience more peace and hope and joy in your relationships, and I'm going to show you how to do that at the Night of Hope.
You'll also hear inspiring music by Jordan St. Cyr.
You've walked me through fire.
Friday, June 6th at Haven Church in Glendale. Sponsored in part by Compassion International. Tickets available at myflr.org.
Hey, listen, it's going to be a great night. Don't miss it. I hope you'll come and join us, Glendale, the Haven Church, June 6th, just a few weeks away now, Friday night, a night of hope. A lot of music and worship, and I get a chance to share with you some really powerful things for your marriage and your family. And for singles, if you're coming, you're not married, or you're coming alone, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you some specific things that you too can do to be intentional. How do we take hope, this concept of hope, this idea of hope, and the reality of hope in Christ, and bring it alive into our life and our relationships? And it's going to be a fun night. One of those evenings you'll leave and say, hey, this was a great investment for my life. Tickets available. Go to theintentionallife.com. Can I encourage you in the world in which we're living? You got a neighbor next door or down the street, someone at work who's struggling in their marriage, they're struggling in their own life, and this would be an opportunity to say, hey, I'm going to this event. Why don't you come with me? Get some tickets and make it a missionary opportunity to bring them out. They're going to hear the gospel, and also they're going to be encouraged, as you will, in some really powerful, practical things that you can do. Jordan St. Cyr, myself, Kankel Fritz from the morning, and the rest of the team, we're going to be there at the Haven Church, Glendale, Arizona, Friday, June 6th. Tickets available today by going to theintentionallife.com. Hey, this gives me just about a minute as we wrap up the show today to thank you for your support, thanking you for being a part of the ministry, thank you for praying for us, thank you for standing with us. You're making a difference in a huge way. You know, every time you share a gift with us, I promise it goes right back out to impact people for Christ. And by the way, I'm not asking you to do something my wife and I don't do. We actively support the ministry because we believe in it. We believe that people are being impacted through the words and the help on the radio and through our podcast and our events and our conferences and our publications, and that's why we support. Would you come and join us? Again, go to theintentionallife.com or call during West Coast business hours. You can call 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. And one of our staff will answer as you press number 2, and we'll take you to our team, and they'd love to talk to you. Again, thank you for your support. Hey, I've got to run. Thanks for being a part of the ministry today. Remember, intentional living is a part of Intentional Life Media.